Home. It is more than four walls and a roof. Home is a feeling. I'm Jennifer Stagg, and I believe that home is the most important place on the planet. Here, I dive into all things home, whether it's tips from my latest DIY project or interviews that examine what gives a house that something special. Join me as I get to the heart of the home.
There is a certain amount of crazy, maybe a certain amount of courage that goes into every DIY project, and we've certainly had to give ourselves plenty of pep talks from time to time. Today, John and I are sharing how we find the courage to learn new skills and dive into new DIY projects, no matter how intimidating they may be. The Heart of the Home continues in just a moment. Hi everyone, I'm jumping in for a minute to tell you about our newest Stagg Design launch, the Aspen Collection. This collection is elevated and grounded in earth tones and hand-painted patterns. Use the code HEARTOFTHEHOME for $10 off your next purchase. At Stagg Design, we believe home is what we make it. I love when you're here, honey.
Oh, thanks.
Thanks for joining me again.
Glad to be here.
So if there's one thing that I think is really, really admirable about John in sort of the DIY space, really in all things, is that you just have like no fear when it comes to tackling a new project. Like you don't ever have like that moment where you're like, I can't do it. It's too big. Instead, every time I come to you with a new project, you kind of see it as a challenge and you're like, okay, let's figure out how to do it. Okay. And I get to buy a new tool. Okay. So how do you do that?
Well, that has developed over time, right? As I've gotten more experience with different projects and different skills required for different types of projects. So it definitely wasn't always that way. I was much more intimidated or unsure when I first started doing projects. But luckily, I've had brothers who have given me good training growing up. And
let's go back to that a little bit. So John has John's the youngest of seven children, and he has five boys in his family. So he's the youngest of seven kids and definitely of five boys.
Yep.
So
I got beaten up
you were kind of the guinea pig to an extent, but also you have a couple brothers that are highly skilled.
Definitely.
When it comes to, you know, one's a mechanic, one was a painter for a long time and is really good at doing woodwork.
A real craftsman.
Yes, definitely a craftsman. So talk to me about the training that you received from them.
Well, first of all, they were never afraid to take on a project, which I think is a big part of it, just not being afraid of it and being willing to jump in and learn. Because almost every project has something unique about it that you're going to have to figure out, right? So I think, first of all, I learned not to be afraid to jump in. And then they would just have me help them out on projects they were working on. And I'd pick up little skills here and there, and from drywall and painting, a little bit of electrical.
I remember you telling me, so John has this brother, Greg, that I think I've shared a little bit of insight into John's personality, that he takes anal to extreme heights when it comes to project. You know, he wants things to be perfect. Mm. And I can't even express how his brother is, because it's that,
like, the
on
next
steroids.
Level. Totally.
It is another level of perfectionism.
Which I have a lot of respect for.
I'm sure you do.
I really do.
So, but sometimes, you know what, I'll quote Allison from the Allison Show. Done is fun, John.
Done is fun.
Sometimes
not
it doesn't
done
have
well
to be
isn't
perfect.
Super fun though. Actually, okay. I would amend that statement by not done well sucks. Because then you have to look at it all the time. And you're like, if I had just spent another hour, that could have been much better.
So maybe should we change it to done right is fun?
Oh, yes. Done right is really fun.
Okay, so go back to Greg teaching you how to paint. Because I think you've told me how you like grabbed a roller and just like started slapping it up. And he was like,
oh, yeah.
He like had a meltdown.
Exactly. Well, he's a real expert painter. So I learned a lot from him. I'm still not to his level, of course. But it's one of those things where you decide like, to get to that level might be too costly for me. So I'm good with the level I'm at. But yeah, that level of perfectionism was a big thing I learned from Greg, my brother Greg, and being willing to take the extra time that it takes, because you can get 95% of the way done and just say that's good enough, or you can take the time to get that extra 5% closer to 100%. But that extra 5% takes a lot of effort.
Did you notice that he didn't say he ever reaches 100%? Is any project ever perfect, or do you always look at it and
no,
you're like,
it's never perfect.
It's never, I should have done this differently.
That is the downfall to doing things on your own for yourself, is you know exactly how that went down and what didn't go perfectly. So whenever I walk by something that I did, unfortunately, I immediately zero in on the one thing that could have been a little better. So it's a process, you know, you get better as you go.
I think you need counseling. Maybe this can be like your therapeutic release.
No, definitely not. It actually, working on projects is quite therapeutic and zen. I enjoy getting into the process of working through a project, especially when I'm not under a deadline, just taking time and doing it right. And I really enjoy that process.
There have been plenty of projects in our marriage that I've designed, and your first reaction is like, no. Nope, we're not doing that. It's too crazy. But then I usually just give you a little space to like let it marinate a little bit. And then you're like, and then it's like the wheels start turning and you're like, okay, I think we can do this. What projects stick out to you that I've been like, let's do this, honey? And you're like, no, I don't want to do that. But then it turns out so awesome.
Well, usually it's because I am unsure how I could do that myself. Like, I'm sure there are people who are much more skilled than me who could do a really good job at what you're proposing. But when we're thinking of doing it ourselves, I can be a bit intimidated by something. And I guess the skill set I've somewhat developed more recently is, you know, built-in shelving and a little bit of cabinetry. It's actually something I'd like to get better at in the future and learn more about. Building cabinet boxes and doors and that whole thing. Because I don't think it's super complicated, but it would require some skill that I haven't acquired yet. So that's a pretty good example of having to do the work to figure out what tools do I need? What process can I go through? Now we have such amazing resources on YouTube and online to teach yourself how to do things.
We should plug our YouTube channel. We share a lot of our tutorials on our YouTube channel. And you can, of course, find a link to that on our blog.
And we want to add a lot more to that YouTube channel as well, because video tutorials are so helpful if they're done well to walk you through all your little questions that you have as you go through a project. So when I'm researching how to do something I've never done before, those online resources are really helpful. Or, of course, if you know someone that knows how to do something and they're willing to help you out, then you can learn a lot from them.
What have you learned about getting into a project that things don't go exactly as they should? How do you get through that? And what do you learn about yourself in the process?
You have to be willing to redo things if they go south. And that's definitely happened. We've had to just start over, and that's frustrating. But, you have to be willing to do some trial and error. And usually on most projects, you have to be careful on electrical and like up on a roof that you don't actually hurt yourself doing a project. But most projects can be redone if you don't do them right the first time.
That just reminded me one time when John and I, we hadn't been married very long.
Oh, great.
And I
just
going
to tell this story.
He already knows where I'm going with this. I was in New York. I was interning at ABC News in New York. And I knew he was doing a roofing project, and I was super worried about him because I knew he was all by himself and the pitch of the roof was really steep.
I was tied like, off.
I don't care what
and ropes and the whole thing.
I don't care. No, I was super nervous about it. So I kept like texting him and calling him and like making sure he was okay. And at one point in the evening, no response. Are you okay? No response. Again and again, I'm like, he has fallen off the roof. So I call his brother and I'm like, where is John? We're in the emergency room. I'm like, what has happened? Apparently. Well, do you want to share what happened?
Sure. Yeah, I can share. So I am pretty conscious of safety. I do care about having the right safety equipment for the project. And I was in a harness and tied off with rope. And so I didn't fall off the roof, luckily.
No.
But one thing I wasn't very safety conscious about was when the nail gun would jam, which happened all the time. So I had a roofing coil nailer, and there's this coil of nails that feeds through the nail gun. And for some reason it got jammed all the time where two nails would try and go, you know, out the hole at the same time. And so you'd have to unjam it. Yeah.
And the most natural way to unjam it is to slam it against your leg.
Or your hand, or your leg, or wherever, yeah. So sometimes you just, like, knock it against my hand. And I was really good at removing the hose from the gun when it got jammed for a long time. And then it happened so many times, and I just kind of got into a
rhythm. You got careless.
Got a little careless. And one time I decided to try to unjam it with the hose attached, and with my finger on the trigger still. So as I was unjamming it with my finger on the trigger, it discharged.
It went off.
And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, I can't believe that just happened. What an idiot. I didn't take my finger off the trigger or remove the hose. I'm so lucky that that didn't discharge and shoot into my hand. And then I looked at my hand. Oh, there's a nail through my hand.
All the way through. Like Jesus Not all the way style. Through. Guys, like, no, all the way through. It went
lodged in my hand. It didn't go through.
It went out the other side.
It protruded out the other side, no, but it was still lodged in my hand.
Your hand was impaled with a nail.
Yeah.
Basically.
And then I was on the roof alone, tied off. Steep roof with a nail through my hand. I'm like, okay, first things first, I'm going to get to the ladder. So I walked over to the ladder, and then I removed my harness and ropes and got down, and then I drove myself to the emergency room.
And your brother met you there. Texted me and told me that you had shot a nail through your hand.
And the nurses thought it was the most hilarious thing they'd ever seen. They were like bringing their friends over to check it out, and they wanted to see if they could see the x-ray.
The x-ray was pretty cool.
I kept a copy of the x-ray. It was pretty great.
The x-ray is pretty cool. And I wonder if we still have that x-ray.
Oh, I totally do. It's in the file cabinet right
now. Okay, that's going up on the episode too.
And luckily for me, I mean, not to make light of it, luckily for me, I missed all the bones and tendons and nerves, and I was very lucky that it was just completely a flesh wound, even though your hand is just this really intricate web of stuff that you don't want to shove a nail through. So it turned out fine. But yeah,
it turned out fine. And you actually went back up and finished the roof.
Totally.
So again, let's get back to our initial question. How do you find the courage to do something that's kind of scary and kind of intimidating and that you don't really know how to do and that you've just hurt yourself and ended up in the emergency room doing?
Yeah, it's funny because projects are basically just a way of using the same base of skills in different ways. So once you've built kind of a foundation of basic skills, like how to use a drill, how to use a saw, how to measure a space and cut a piece of wood. Like once you've built those basic skills, you can apply them in a lot of different ways. And one thing I've learned is none of this is super complicated. You just have to get some basic knowledge and try things out and dive in. So what I would say is do your research, be curious, but dive in and try it.
And make sure you detach the nail gun.
Yeah, and be safe.
Be safe. Okay, and I will just add in there that I think we get so much pride over looking over our home or, you know, projects that we've done and knowing that, like, we did this. Like, our home has such an original stamp to it, that everywhere we look, literally everywhere we look in every single room, there's projects that we've done and done together. And oftentimes while our kids are melting down and we're like laughing and like giving each other high fives, you know, as we're like trying to finish up a project. So,
I'm excited for when our kids are going to be a little older and can help us more with projects. They've been so young that they haven't been able to be participants, but I'm really looking forward to teaching them some of the skills that we've acquired.
They're getting to the point where they really want to help.
Yeah.
It's not always
very helpful,
but productive or safe for them to help, but they're getting there. Okay. So thanks so much for listening. There you go. Here's how you get courage for diving into that DIY project. I'm Jennifer Stagg, and you've been listening to The Heart of the Home. I hope you'll subscribe, review, and rate this podcast, and tune in next episode for more Heart of the Home. Thank you so much for listening.